Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you ready, kids? Get your parents' permission, check your mailbox, and grab your shopping cart. It's time for the Adventures in Collecting podcast.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Dave.
Welcome to Adventures in collecting,
where we talk toy news, culture, and hauls,
along with our journeys as collectors.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Adventures in Collecting. What you're about to hear is a G.I. Joe roundtable. Dave had the opportunity to sit down with Lenny and Emily, of course, friends of the pod and returning guests, along with a bunch of other toy bloggers and journalists from around the toy community to talk all things G.I. Joe. The questions you're about to hear that Dave asks are all submitted from you, our listeners and followers. So, when we have opportunities like this, we always like to make sure we open the door for our listeners and followers to participate. We know getting access to these folks isn't always the easiest thing. So make sure you are following us at AIC_podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, where we're constantly posting the opportunity to participate in these interviews, these roundtables, and Q&A sessions. So definitely make sure you are following us there at AIC_podcast. Now sit back, enjoy, and let's end Yojo June with a fun roundtable. So let's do it. Yojo!
Yeah. So, how's everybody doing? It's so nice to see you all.
Good. How are you?
Doing good.
It's delightful. I know I'm
a little off-centered here. Am I okay?
Oh, yeah. No, you're beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
So it's roundtable style, right?
Roundtable, yeah.
So I guess, how should we... Fran, you start. Introduce yourself.
Yeah, Fran. Introduce yourself.
I'm Fran O'Boyle. I run histhink.com under the tag Destro.
All right, James, introduce yourself.
James Zahn, editor-in-chief of The Toy Book and senior editor of The Pop Insider.
And Dave, introduce yourself.
I am Dave Weinberg, and I am one of the hosts of the Adventures in Collecting podcast.
That was fun. I liked that. And then for anybody who doesn't know us, I'm Emily. Nice to meet you.
And I'm Lenny, design on G.I. Joe.
Marketing. Yeah.
So maybe we go in that order of questions, too?
That sounds perfect. All right.
All right.
Yeah.
We also have Andrew from Gizmodo on as well.
Oh, hi, Andrew from Gizmodo.
You know what?
Andrew, can you introduce yourself?
Yeah,
hi, I'm the one with the other camera turned on. I'm Andrew Lyshevsky. I'm a senior staff reporter at Gizmodo and IO9, and I've been there for like 13 years now, covering toys and gadgets and stuff. So, great. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, cool. Sorry we missed you. My where it says I'm muted is literally covering your icon.
That's my life story. My life story.
So if we go in that order, it's Fran, James, Dave, Andrew. And then we wash, rinse, and repeat until we run out of time?
Sure.
Cool. All right. Go ahead, Fran. Floor is yours.
Well, I just want to say congratulations for the fully funded, well, almost fully funded Dragonfly. I mean,
we're going to
beat it, and that's amazing. You guys did a great job. Biggest question that's floating around right now that in regards to that project is when are we going to see the final unlock? Are we going to have to wait? Are we going to see it a little bit early?
So, great question. We're not quite ready to tell you what it is yet. But if we wanted to kick things off with a little bit of a bang, we do have a character name only reveal for you today. And then we can kind of talk through our thoughts and feelings about that.
Is it the one that I asked?
Yes, but it's only the first half because we're doing two sessions. So we'll save one for the second half.
Okay.
And we'll do a recap.
Is it the one in...
So
Emily, say it.
So we are very, very excited to announce that Airborne is actually going to be in the G.I. Joe main line as a classified figure. So Airborne is not going to be locked behind the HasLab campaign. So he will be coming as part of our 2024 lineup.
Yeah. And he's coming out really good. Yeah. We actually just got some samples of him. We've been in production on him for a while now. So I can't wait to reveal him. I actually saw something on him today, and I'm like really excited to show him. He's a good fig.
Solid fig. And so just to kind of explain how that logically worked for us. So we wanted to make sure that he felt like such an important character. We wanted to make sure that he wasn't necessarily locked behind a HasLab for his first outing.
Yeah.
Also, kind of the way that our development process works is he was in development in the main line way before the HasLab was concepted.
It's funny. Action figures take way longer than a baby to be born. So our life cycle of a figure is probably about 15 months or so. And the kickoff to the HasLab, we've only been 20 days in the campaign. We haven't even, you've guys, it's funny, HasLabs are weird. It's a reverse development process. So we make a really pretty sculpt before we even start. So basically that's to see if everybody is interested in it. So Airborne, way long in production before the HasLab even got kicked off. So it just worked out that way.
Yeah. So I think it means that the timing will be great because it means that you'll actually be able to have Airborne in your collection before the Dragonfly will be delivered to your house, which is really cool. Yep. So he'll be sitting and waiting for his ride, which I think is beautiful.
Yeah.
So that is kind of our Airborne announcement. So kind of circumnavigatingly.
To give an answer to something else on that question that's kind of, we can't really talk to the unlock just yet.
Yep.
I think if we unlock Glenda, closer to that number, we will give the...
I'm very confident that we're going to...
cautious man.
So I know that there have been a lot of people that have been saying, you know, like, are you concerned that the campaign is stalling, X, Y, and Z? This is the name of the game for every HasLab campaign that there has been, with basically the exception of the Hiss tank. So the Hiss was really the exception to the rule. So you get a big spike at the beginning of the campaign, you get little spikes whenever you have more marketing beats, and then at the end, FOMO kicks in, and we sold, I think it was 8,000 Sky Strikers in 12 hours. It was incredible. Wow. And I think about 6,000 Hiss tanks in 12 hours. I'm sure somebody on the internet will back check me on that.
Yeah, and I think as it progresses, we'll show it at a appropriate time, essentially. Yeah.
Was that helpful?
I mean, it's better than no answer at all, that's for sure.
Love it. Okay, great.
If we're going to see it closer to Glenda, that's, you know, that's information. So thank you.
Yeah,
sure. All right, James, up next.
All right. I just got him. I just finally found him the other day. So
sweet.
He's here now. But yeah, so since we're on the topic of HasLab, I will go with my HasLab question first. I have some other stuff here we can talk about later. What are some of the key learnings that the team has found with back-to-back HasLab successes?
I think that...
It's a lot.
There's a lot of things to unpack from... We've done three HasLabs in pretty rapid succession, and I think that we owe all of our HasLab success to both the incredibly dedicated development team here that has been working so hard on these projects and to all of the amazing G.I. Joe fans that are backing and supporting these endeavors. And I think that is really something that motivates. It's like a circle, like a cat chasing its tail. Mm-hmm. So the design team is motivated by how excited they know that all the fans are going to be. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of what motivates that for us is storytelling.
Yeah.
And to us, so like, how can we continue to contribute to the story and the lore of G.I. Joe through establishing these HasLabs? Mm-hmm. And like, how does the characters that we're choosing and the way that we're developing the storylines around the campaign, like how does that all kind of fit in with the overall G.I. Joe story? I think that's something that fans have been responding really well to.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it is the upfront research that we're doing on the total package, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think with the Hiss tank, I think from the Sky Striker, we learned a lot. And then we implemented a lot of that on the Hiss tank. And then from the Hiss tank, we learned some things with the unlocks and like what people responded to. We really pay attention to what people are responding to because we want to make people happy.
Yeah.
So we just kind of pay attention to what the parameters are that we're designing and marketing towards and then what people are reacting to. And we try to aim for 100. Right. Yep. So, and I think as you can see, a lot of the unlocks are all figures. Yep. That was a learning. Right.
Yep.
Like the total package that you see out of the gate, like we tried to make it like a total vehicle out the gate. Like we're not hiding anything that you needed. No accessories behind unlocks. Thank you.
Yeah.
I can't speak. I got you. So it's like kind of like figuring out how to like sweeten the deal and incentivize the deal. I think plays a lot into it. And a lot of, for a development standpoint, it's a lot of the upfront development of what it takes, because a lot of the stuff you guys are seeing, like the painted models, we don't do that until like 9 months into development.
Yeah. Usually on a traditional product.
Yeah. So we are like really far ahead. So we're learning how to truncate all that to show the community and the consumer a total finished product before we even start the product.
Yeah.
So, and because we want to keep it as true as possible to what the final thing's going to be. So it's a lot of like, how do you show a really, really, really good breadboard or digital model, as well as how do you pay attention to what people are really going to get excited about so that we do have a successful campaign? Because at the end of the day, it's what we're shooting for. We want these things to fun, and we want to get all the unlocks because they're super fun, because we want to make them. Like the fact that Ripcord got unlocked so quickly, I get to make all that flight gear. I'm so excited about it. So hopefully we'll get everything to you guys within the 15-month or 20-month cycle that we're on.
16 to 18 for HasLabs.
Yep.
And then I think that it's also been really cool. Kind of our cadence is we do everything digitally, and then usually about 2 weeks before campaign kickoff, our gray model arrives. And so finally we get to really see what this thing looks like in real life, which means that for the Joe campaigns, we can't speak for necessarily the other campaigns, but it's really important to us that we launch with those full color digital renders, which, and we always caveat with it's this or something better because we do need to make updates kind of as we go, but minimal updates.
Mm-hmm.
But so we have those full color digital renders, and then we have that physical gray model so that you can actually imagine how big it will be in your space and how impactful that is. Like that picture of Lenny, like looking at the dragonfly, it's enormous.
But at the same time, you don't want to make it so wide where it won't fit on a shelf.
Yeah.
So part of the learnings there too is like, we got to pick an item that is going to fit in most people's displays or
like on the top of a bookshelf.
Really, on top of a bookshelf, it's thin enough where it'll kind of fit on a bookshelf. Or maybe we'll, like, say if we did a bigger vehicle, like a wider one, we would try to design something in there where it would fit on most shelves, or in a way fit on a shelf through the stand or something like that. So a lot of that stuff has to be considered very early with HasLabs. Because normally, I'm going on a little bit of tangent. So stop me if I'm going too far.
Never goes on tangents. So weird.
Like the gray model, a lot of times for a regular vehicle on any toy line, we see a gray model. And then we make adjustments to that. And then we go back to the CAD and then we adjust that.
Mm-hmm.
And we make sure that everything is right. With HasLabs, because of a truncated schedule and we need to get it to people, we're doing it on the fly. And while people are watching us.
Yeah.
So
the stakes are high.
They're
wonderful and they kind of thrive under the pressure.
Yeah.
Which is, you know,
you can say
you make diamonds.
You can say that.
Yeah, I will say that. And the reason why Lenny was looking sideways is if somebody could let us know when we have 5 minutes left of this session, we actually have we'll give everybody on this call and then on the next call an early look at our painted model that just came in. It has been off in the photo studio, so we will have some really, really beautiful diorama pictures. So there's a lot of sand on it. It was in a sand.
I'm not happy.
So just keep that in mind when you're seeing it. But the pictures that will come out
we'll try to truncate our answers a little bit so we can get to that stuff too. So
all right. Anyways. Okay. Thank you, James.
That was a great answer.
Great.
Sweet.
I'm glad it was recorded because that would have been a lot of typing.
A lot to type. Yeah. We have that impact on.
We can go on.
All right. Dave, what's your first question?
Hey. So just going to a different kind of set of pre-orders. The Cobra Eel pre-orders sold through pretty quickly. Are there going to be more made available?
So basically the way that pre-orders kind of work is there is a limited quantity of the the entire kind of batch of items that are made that are released for pre-order. So when we actually get to shipping on those, more of those quantities should be released on them.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I got freaked out too.
Yeah. No, because I think, and we had been the whole time, we were like, these are going to be really popular. Mm-hmm. And so yes, there should be some, and that kind of goes for all pre-orders with the exception of convention exclusives is traditionally how that works. So you get your initial pre-orders in, and then there's usually at least some quantities that are released afterwards.
Sweet.
If that's helpful. That seems like the kind of answer that we want, right?
Yeah, totally. Thank you.
You're welcome. Excellent. Okay, Andrew, first question, please and thank you.
Yeah, so when it comes to like supersizing a pretty iconic 80s toy, particularly from a property like G.I. Joe that was known for its toy line and its animated series, how much inspiration do you draw from like the original Dragonfly toy, and how much inspiration is drawn from how it appears across various episodes of the animated series, which would always kind of, you know, bring in new features or new functionality you wouldn't see in the toy in the 80s. So I'm just curious what the balance is there when you're designing and kind of modernizing a toy like this.
So it's interesting on Classified. We are going for our own look comparatively to the 80s line, but we are, as you guys can tell, we're pulling a lot from the 80s line.
Fully inspired.
I mean, real American hero. Come on. Yeah. You know? But we actually pulled my Dragonfly toy, and we looked at the proportions, and we looked at the gait of the skis on the bottom, or the skiffs on the bottom. Looked at the angle that it like kind of like the angle of its aggression, essentially, of how like the line or the silhouette is. So we really focused on the silhouette, and then with the Dragonfly in particular. At first, we were going to try to keep it more angular, like the original toy, where it's like it's very like cut. You can tell the designer back and they cut it out of foam, maybe kitbashed together old toys and stuff like that. So we try to stay in the realm of the spirit of what the original toy was. And a lot of Classified is pulled from Real American Hero toy line. So we look at the toy first, then we update the toy, not the cartoon. And then so with the Dragonfly, we did some drawings, did some quick sketches, and we even went to be a little more smooth, so look a little more modern, but it actually was looking too sci-fi. So then we kind of met in the middle, essentially, and we looked at real assault helicopters and how they are designed and how their pop rivets are put in. So what we're trying to do from a toy standpoint is keep the silhouette and keep the vibe, but from what Classified brings in is that bit of realism and detail that we couldn't mold in the 80s. So what we're doing is we're adding that realism, we're adding the detailing, we're adding the pop rivets, we're adding the scribe lines that we couldn't get before. So I don't think there's really a percentage. It's more of like a vibe. And as you guys can see with some of the images with some of the color on it, how Mark added all this really cool blackout paint for glare, because some helicopters have that on there, and some military vehicles have the blackout on the roof, so there's no glare. So we added a lot of details like that because we do want to put the Classified spin on it that pushes it into the little bit more extreme feel than what the Real American Hero line had. And there were some extreme-looking Real American Hero vehicles and figures, but in Classified, we have a particular aggression to the look. We wanted to get it there. But at the same time, it needs to feel like the classic Dragonfly. Kind of like we did the Hiss Tank.
Yeah.
The Hiss Tank, we elongated the nose. We made the angle a little more aggressive. The treads are a little longer. As you guys remember, the old Hiss Tank was a little more boxy. I'm trying to make it, for lack of a better word, more sexy in its feel. So.
And I feel like that's kind of the approach that's really taken with everything in Classified series. You know, we have the retro version, and then all the way on the other end, you have like a really super futuristic sci-fi version. And I feel like everything that we have found that fans have really loved is somewhere in the middle of that.
Yeah, which I think it's funny, in meetings we've been doing our like, what's next? What's the future in our future planning for the line? And it's like one of the things we try to look at is if we are a production design house doing it for a movie, like what would we do? Like how would we realize it? Like a production designer, essentially. And it's super fun to do with the toy know-how that Hasbro's had, especially on action figures for the past 40, 60 years. Mm-hmm. Think that.
Yeah, that was a good rambling answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. All right. Fran, second question, please. And thank you.
The very important one, because I know it's the Classified piece that I've been waiting for the most. So is there an update when we'll actually be shipped our his tanks? When are we going to get those in hand?
Should be still fall. So we're on track.
I think beginning fall.
Right? Yeah, early fall, I would say, depending on how you define fall.
Yeah.
So something, October-ish, November-ish.
Yeah, we're still on time.
Yep.
I don't want to say a month, but it's early fall.
Yeah.
As you guys saw, I put on Instagram, I showed what Cobra Commander looks like. Yep. Our figures they're in a good spot.
Yeah.
So, but a little inside baseball, when you make a HasLab, you're making a wave of figures in a very complicated vehicle. So they're on the same timeline, but it's like, for the most part, it's like doing a very complicated wave. Right, because you have the vehicle that's complicated. So everything has to pass QC. Yep. Everything has to pass QA. Everything has to function well. Everything has to be operational. Like, so if there's a defect in the figure, it will delay the rest of the item.
Everything.
So again, we can say early fall, but the figures are coming out really good. So we're in a good spot on there, and the tank's looking really good from what I've seen so far. So we're on track.
And I think that it's really important to us that. It is, you know, as with learnings from the Sky Striker, we have really taken a lot of leaps and bounds forward to make sure that what you get is the best possible product that you can.
Cross like, the I's and dot the T's.
Exactly. We know that there were
friends. I'd rather wait and have it perfect than have it, you know, get it 3-4 weeks, 2 months ahead of time, and it not be perfect. So
yeah,
exactly.
And it's kind of our stance on HasLabs too.
We're just all excited to get that in hand. You know, that's an important piece.
Yeah, me too. I keep on telling my mom it's going to be the centerpiece at Christmas.
So, I wonder if I could. Oh yeah, that'd be really nice. I like that idea.
Right in front of the antipas.
Yep.
Put some flowers in the turn.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. Love it. Fabulous. Thanks, Fran.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This segment is brought to you by our friends at Chubsy Wubsy Toys. A traditional mom-and-pop toy store in Little Falls, New Jersey, Chubsy Wubsy Toys brings you the best new toys from the brands you love without the hassle of pounding the pavement searching for them at larger retail stores. Visit them in person at their brand new home at 101 Newark Pompton Turnpike Suite 1 in Little Falls, New Jersey, or online at ChubsyWubsy.com. That's ChubsyWubsy.com. And tell them Adventures in Collecting sent you.
Rewind and press play on your VHS collection with CGC. CGC is excited to announce our newest collectible vertical, CGC Home Video. As a division dedicated to authenticating and grading your VHS collection, our experts are ready to help you encapsulate your favorite video cassettes. Don't settle for static on the screen. Submit today at cgcgrading.com. That's cgcgrading.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And now, back to the show.
All right, James, you're up.
All right, I'm going to go with the more business end of things now and ask, do you have any updates to how G.I. Joe is being handled at retail, specifically kind of the split between the mass retail and the specialty market, and what the outlook is for growing that in 2024?
Ooh, good question. So I feel like we have gotten positive feedback from all of our retail partners about the success of Classified Dairies, which is really, really complimentary for us because it is, you know, a 6-inch action figure line among many of the 6-inch action figure lines that exist in the world. And there isn't really like current entertainment that it's supporting. Yes, so it kind of, it kind of exists from our imaginations, which is beautiful and really exciting. And there's something that it's tapping into, I think, whether for you it is the characters, whether it's the detail of the figures, whether it's all the stuff that they come with for the world building, there is something that is connecting with fans that we are truly, truly humbled by.
Yeah.
And that it's also connecting with retailers, which is lovely and flattering, and we are delighted by. I think that it... And this is going to sound a little conceited to say out loud, but everybody wants more classified. And so we're trying to figure out how we can satisfy all of the retail needs while making sure that we're fulfilling everything that consumers need, while making sure that like we don't flood the market and there's like you're not going to get hit with like 60 pre-orders that are all shipping to you at once.
Which would be brutal.
Which would be terrible. And so we're kind of coming up on the tail end of, remember all of the supply chain issues and we didn't have new product on shelf for 6 months? Ah, good times. That was fun.
That was very stressful.
So essentially what we kind of ended up doing with that is all of the product that was supposed to be on shelf for spring of 2023 shifted to fall of 2023. Everything that was supposed to be fall 23 product shifted to spring of 24, and then everything that was supposed to be spring 24 and everything for fall 24 moved to fall 24. So there is going to be quite a bit of product that hits shelves in fall of 24, but we really wanted to make sure that, you know, we weren't shortchanging any of our fans on those items because we do really believe in all those figures. We didn't want any of them to be cut.
Mm-hmm.
So there will be some more coming out. I think that we're just trying to figure out, you know, what makes the most sense from a cadence perspective and trying to spread out our pre-orders a little bit more. There's so basically the way that things work, if you have products that are shelf setting at like one of the big box retailers, let's say, there are 4 times a year that you really have to hit for products to set on shelf. And so I'm sure people have noticed that there are those 4 times a year when they do toy shelf resets, and then a lot of your pre-orders may ship during those time periods. So we're trying to figure out, you know, if for those cadences, what does it mean for us if we have, you know, 10 items that are shipping out at each one of those deadlines? Like, what kind of like consumer experience is that? That was a little bit of a roundabout answer, but did you find that acceptable?
Yes, you can tell when I switch between the toy book hat and the Pop Insider hat. So, all good.
Very businessy question. Thank you. Good business. All right, Dave, you're up.
Question about accessories. So we had heard that accessories packs are on the table from previous roundtables. Mm-hmm. Are we any closer to seeing those become a reality?
Not yet.
Not yet.
We're trying to figure out what comes next in world building for classified series.
Yeah, and answer earlier, like we're in our figuring out 25 and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
So
here's
Iron Grandeur. Dude, Iron Grandeur. I love that. Yes.
Why is nobody voting for ice cream soldiers? We all need ice cream soldiers.
I saw that in some comments on it. Was
it just me commenting on it?
It was somebody else. But we are looking at to see how to expand the line. So within the next couple of years, you may see it. We can't speak the future product because and all that. But we are thinking about how else we can expand the universe of. And as a kid, I always thought weapons packs and on all sorts of lines was really cool.
Yeah.
Super 7 is doing that really cool weapons pack too.
Yep.
So I think there's potential. We just got to see how we would offer. We always want to make something feel like a full offering.
Mm-hmm.
So stay tuned, I think, is the answer, unfortunately.
Yeah. And I think that there's so many cool things that we can do with world building. And that is part of the joy of G.I. Joe is that there are so few toys that when you think about them, sometimes you think about the playsets and the vehicles first before you think of the individual figures.
Yeah, well, G.I. Joe is figure, weapons, vehicles, and then playsets. Like, it's like, it was designed to be a toy. It's the greatest toy line ever, if you ask me.
He's unbiased.
And I'm not talking about classified. I'm just talking about like G.I. Joe in general. It's designed to be for toys, right?
Almost 60 years of history designed for
fully encompassing. Yeah. So I think weapons pack is definitely something on the table. It's just, you know, we're planning for the future and stay tuned.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Woo. All right. Andrew, you're up.
So this is almost an extension of your last answer, but, you know, looking at the past few years of HasLab projects and seeing what has succeeded and what has failed, I mean, G.I. Joe projects have a pretty great track record so far. Why do you think that is? Why do you think G.I. Joe and the toys still resonate so many years later and are still so popular among collectors?
I think there's a... The first thing that comes to mind is like the, for that last answer is give G.I. Joe is a fully encompassing world. Mm-hmm. Like there's iconic vehicles that are literally vehicles of characters, if you ask me. The characters all serve an archetype, and those archetypes are timeless. Whether you're a rifleman or you're like a sci-fi wielding android, right?
Yeah.
Sci-fi wielding android. But
yeah,
you know what I mean?
You get it. Yeah.
Okay. Or like a Flash Gordon looking villain with like a helmet on, and you happen to have an arms dealer that's kind of royal. Like all of the characters fit an archetype. And if you look at modern video games, a lot of those archetypes, like two ninjas not getting along and stuff like that, they are tropes. And I think G.I. Joe pioneered a lot of those tropes. And they're beautiful because they're tropey. And I think that's what is helping G.I. Joe a lot, is that like it kind of resonates no matter what generation of Joe you grew up with. Like my father-in-law was the 12th Joe, and he's always like, you got to remake this. And it's like, you know, it's like, yes, we do. Yeah. Well, but like, and then, but you then talk to my brother, and my brother's like, you got to remake this character. And it's like, there's a different, it's hit on all these different levels.
Or but like I think if you were a 90s kid or a 2000s kid.
And they always had they always kept archetypal, and I think that's what makes them strong. And even in the vehicles, like a jet is awesome no matter what jet it is, or a tank or like some sort of submarine or an amphibious vehicle, things like that are rad. So I think that's what it is at the end of the day.
I think we also have the advantage of, this is a new toy line. You haven't been able to get G.I. Joe in 6-inch figures before.
This line is
less than 5 years old. And so I do want to give a shout out to everybody at the company that has worked on HasLabs, whether or not their campaigns have succeeded, because they are an incredible amount of work goes into these, and they are kind of all consuming for our lives in the lead up to, in the campaign, in the fulfillment of, for the development. And so I think that it's an incredible accomplishment, but that we do have, there is that element of newness where one of our advantages is that we didn't burn through, isn't the right way to phrase it, but the line hadn't been large enough to get to some of these outside of a HasLab format.
Yes.
But like, this is new and it's novel and it's something that you've never seen before for G.I. Joe.
I also think they complete the collection.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
it's storytelling.
If you're going to have a military sci-fi toy line, you kind of need your tanks and your jets and your helicopters to kind of set the mood, especially for setting the mood on your shelf. Like, I like to set the mood on my collection shelves. But like, I like to make sure that it feels like the vibe, because you're going for that vibe in your collection room or wherever you keep your collectibles. So I think they're almost like centerpieces in a weird way. And it's how we kind of handle them too. So I think that helps out a lot.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
All right. And just for a time check, how long do we have for this session?
We are here till 11:30. Well, PT my time, which is.
I was going to say, that's like a really long time away. That was like 8 hours from now. So great. So we have another 22 minutes.
Here, sorry. We'll try to be quicker with the answers. Yep. I know you guys have questions. Sorry.
All right, next round. Fran, you're up.
So the Dreadnoughts have been listed as name-only reveal for some time now. I was hoping that we were going to see them in Yojo June. Is that still a possibility? Are we going to see renders for those figures?
So we actually didn't do any other render reveals for Yojo June, but stay tuned because we will be doing some render reveals at San Diego Comic-Con. So the G.I. Joe panel will return to San Diego Comic-Con this year. We will be doing more name-only reveals, digital reveals, and we will be launching a couple of non-convention exclusive pre-orders.
Sweet.
And then there will be more in the lead-up to San Diego Comic-Con, just in case you're like, wow, there have been a lot of classified figures this month. Great news. More coming in July. So Just in case you were like, gosh, I missed them already.
We have more to show. That's
awesome. There's more that are launching tomorrow. So,
oh, that's right.
Yeah. So we have, so we're wrapping up Yojo June tomorrow. So we have more figures that are launching, special guest for our show for tomorrow. Yep. So that should be fun too.
Yeah. Right? Emily has to pull me out of my day to day to like present the product. So yeah. I forget when the
when things go live,
Cause I'm just, I'm in it, you know?
So. That's why he keeps me around. I, you know, keep us on track. Yeah, remember all the dates. Remember where the pre-orders are launching.
Yeah, that's why she says the pre-order dates and all that. Yep. I will talk about
that once.
No, I'll crumble. I'll just talk about the toy.
We did a D&D one once, and Kevin, who was on it, I was like, so Kevin, what time does the pre-order launch? And he's like, 1:30. I'm like, oh, so close. We're live and we couldn't cut it.
Oh, no.
It was great. So I loved it.
You should do it from
always. So, yes.
But yeah, soon. We will show, we'll show them soon. And I'm excited to show them because we're really far along on them, too.
Yeah.
So they're pretty crazy looking. Yeah. So.
That's
and
great.
I think that we're really excited for San Diego this year and more to kind of come and what the Hasbro activation will be on that. But I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Sweet.
Looking forward to it.
Cool. All right, James, you're up.
All right. Looking ahead a couple months here, there is some stuff swirling with the 100 years of Hasbro. Anything G.I. Joe intersecting with?
Solid question. Wait until San Diego Comic-Con to learn more about the Hasbro 100 celebration.
All right.
It's an answer. It's not the answer you wanted, but it is an answer.
There's something about it in the October issue of the toy book, but...
Oh, okay. Excellent. That's good to know, too. All right, Dave, you're up.
So question about the O-ring figures. There's been no news whatsoever on the O-ring. There's been no news on the O-ring line since the successful Sky Striker HasLab and then the Sunbow pack. Is it safe to say that the 3¾ figures are at rest for now?
Yes. So let's say that they are at rest for now. There are new O-ring figures. So
they're at rest for now.
They're at rest for now.
It's a hard answer to give.
It's a hard answer to give. So there were a lot of things that ended up kind of happening behind the scenes, that prevented us from moving forward with our O-ring products for 2023. So at the time that we announced that they were coming back in full force, that was truly what we were on our way to accomplishing. We had figures, they were in development. Mm-hmm. We were thrilled about what the relaunch was going to be. But unfortunately, there were just some things that were happening that...
We had to rework our strategy.
Yes, we had to rework our strategy. So hopefully we'll be able to give more updates on that in the future. But for now, that line is at rest.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Andrew, you're up.
You know, I think if you were to poll kind of kids who grew up with G.I. Joe and said, you know, what one vehicle would you like to see come to HasLab? Obviously, you know, the obvious answer is going to be a logistically impossible 6-inch scale U.S.'s flag. Mm-hmm. But from the old ladies.
Yep. Is it 80?
Pardon me?
It would be 80 feet if it was 1/12 scale.
That's practical.
If you're making it, if you're making a real aircraft carrier, if you're making a flag, it wouldn't be 80 feet long. It'd be like 25. Sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Sure. No, I would still make room for both. But is there, are there vehicles from the original 80s line that kind of like at the top of your list I would love to see get the classified series treatment one day?
Can I say things that I want to do?
Yes. So the caveat to this list is it is Lenny's favorite things. It is no way, shape, or form indicative of future products that will be coming out in the line. It's just things that Absolutely. Lenny is excited about.
I don't think it's possible. I said just bang right into it. I would want to
be Defiant.
I would want to do Defiant would be bigger than bigger than Flint. I would want to do Rolling Thunder would be sick, but I think it'd be too big.
Mm-hmm.
A Mamba, actually, I'd love to do a Mamba. They'd be pretty rad. It'd be weird.
What was that submarine that had the like fizzy stuff that would go?
Oh,
up
that's
and
small.
Down?
That's submarine would probably be like this. I forget the Barracuda. No, I love the Barracuda as a kid.
It would probably end up being like,
yeah.
Never mind. That one's feasible. Sorry.
Or the whale. The whale, yeah. I think, would be awesome. And I'd love to try to figure out to make like a rubber tube on the bottom of it to be the for the hydroplaning that it used to do. Mm-hmm. Or even practical. Like, I always get the name wrong of it, but it's like the battle station that's in the water. I always forget the name of it.
Somebody on the internet will tell us about
it. Yeah, they'll tell me how wrong I am and how, you know. It's like the battle station would be cool. The bivouacs, but I don't think the bivouac and the guard station actually have to be a HasLab. I think they're in a good size.
Trying to do those like modularly. Oh,
the one that I would love to make a Tomahawk. We talked about we talked about the Tomahawk before we talked about the Dragonfly. The Tomahawk, think about how big the Tomahawk is compared to the Dragonfly. And then when you see the Dragonfly, it's like the Tomahawk would be a
beast.
It carries like, I think it carried 10 figures. I have one at home.
A lot.
I think it carried it because it had the seating in the back and then it carried two pilots. It's so good. With the camo, we figure. Oh, sorry. Yeah. I get a little excited. I think those are the ones I'd want to like reach for. I think the Mamba would be crazy looking. And I think it'd be remiss to not say the Rattler. I think the Rattler would be wild lethal. Come on. You know,
or like a Night Raven in 6-inch scale, that would be big.
Night Raven,
like roughly the same size as the Sky Striker, which would be like 4 feet long.
I don't know. I think we can get it for a good size. I've looked at something and trying to like scale it out. Maybe that's something where we pull the scale down a little bit so that we could get it there. That was one of the Christmas presents that was we still believed in Santa Claus, but my dad that year was like, he's a very Brooklyn Italian guy, right? Talk like this. He goes, Patty. With my mom's name, give him the G.I. Joe item. And he came out and he gave my brother and I the Night Raven. My brain melted. It's my favorite jet in G.I. Joe. I'd love to do Night Raven, but
and I think that
I'm getting a little too personal, but I think those kind of items, as I just listed off a list of 10 things, but you know,
and I think that there's also conversations to be had, you know, around kind of that scaling down of what's more important, making sure that we are as accurate as humanly possible to the 3¾-inch product, which if scaled up means it would be unfeasible to do at 6-inch scale, or do we do a new 6-inch scale version that is slightly smaller, but, you know, actually means that you might be able to bring some of those products to life.
Yeah. And I don't know how much chatter it would make if we even posed a question, maybe in the articles, maybe there'll be comments, but like, what if we made a new vehicle? Like, what if it was a new vehicle that was very G.I. Joe?
Yeah.
Would the fans be receptive to that? And I would love to figure out how to get, like, data on that. Like, how do we see if, like, hey, what if we made a brand new type of tank or type of jet that, like, fits within the classified scale? Would people be receptive of that, too? Because it would be super fun to, like, just get into the weeds of
design new thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's another question I was going to have. Is there an idea to, because, you know, this classified series is kind of not necessarily a complete duplication of the 80 series, but is there any idea in terms of bringing a new IP vehicle into the fold?
We'd love to. I mean, when we first, so before Classified came out, myself and another designer, we were ideating what G.I. Joe could look like. So we were coming up with some crazy vehicles. We were going everywhere from classic G.I. Joe to a little more zany G.I. Joe. And we were looking at like one of the vehicles we looked at was reinventing the Rhino and what we could do with that. But we really pushed it far. We came up with vehicles that were like have helicopters detaching from them, getting getting a little more 90s with it. We did a lot of ideation. We even got like, I think we did like a rock and roll, like a surf van kind of thing too, but then it opened up instead of it being surfboards, it's like machine guns coming out. We were looking at stuff like that. A little too zany at the end of the day. We'd love to bring new stuff to the line. The Coil is a new vehicle. So Baroness's Coil, which is like this kind of like Rhino version of a motorcycle, or not a Rhino, but like, it's supposed to be like a heavy motorcycle that can like break through walls and stuff. So yeah, we definitely want to, it's just a matter of feeling out what do people want? Yeah. You know what I mean? We got to weigh that, like when to give something new, when to give something that's based in history kind of deal. Yeah. So
that Baroness and Coil pack was the first G.I. Joe classified figure that I picked up before I started working on the line.
Oh, sweet.
And the snake that she comes with that fits on her arm brings me great joy still.
I had this vision that she was like this sorceress and she had this like robot snake that she could command and shoot lasers out of.
It's even better.
Instead of shooting poison, it was shooting lasers because, had this like intent, I don't know, sci-fi craziness to it. Sorry. Now we're rambling. I apologize.
Fabulous. Thank you. Okay, so we have 6 more minutes if we want to do a last speed round and see where we end up before
we'll be quick about the answers.
Yep, we'll be quick about the answers. We'll be decisive and definitive. All right, Fran, go. Lightning round.
This is going to be a hard question, but the AAA G.I. Joe video game, is there any information that will be available coming out for that? Because I think that is going to have a huge, gigantic impact on the marketing for G.I. Joe and getting it out to new people. I think it's huge potential. So it's just, there's so little information out there. It hasn't been really available. So
what can we say? We agree. We can't say anything. Stay tuned for more details soon. Because we're, so technically that falls under a different team than us.
Yeah.
So we are specifically the toy team. And then there is a, like a franchise team that's specifically working on that. So we don't want to step on anybody's toes by saying anything we shouldn't.
So let's zip around another, Fran, try to think of another question that we can answer. We'll zip around for some more so we can get more questions answered for you guys. But we can't answer that one. Yeah. But we agree.
Yeah.
It will be sick.
It's, yeah.
So James.
All right. So buzzed about thing this month. G.I. Joe teased in Transformers, as evident by the new film coming out. We've seen the 3¾ collabs, 6-inch. Something happening there?
Great news. We also can't comment on that, but we're excited about what may or may not happen in the future. We have seen the movie.
We'd love to do something, but we can't. We can't speak to the future products.
Yeah.
These are not the answers to give.
No, these are not. I'm so sorry.
No, these are the perfect speed round questions for the end.
Yeah.
Dave, what's up? What you got?
All right. Give us one more that we can say we can't answer about.
Don't know if this will fit in like that, but like the Sergeant Slaughter release from last year, is there any opportunity in the future for figures to come packed with more alternate hands like fists or saluting hands?
Yes.
Yes. Great news. That was an easy one.
I'm on it.
Stay tuned for the future.
Getting yelled at costume, right. Yes.
Yeah. Great. That was awesome. An easy one. All right,
awesome,
Andrew,
but thank you.
Speed round.
Andrew's tapped out. I'm happy to pass to someone else.
Hot dog. Who has another speed round? Fran, you want to try again?
I don't really have much. You guys went over so many things. I'm quite honest with you.
We were comprehensive.
We were comprehensive.
Anybody else? We still have like 2 more questions or 2 more minutes. We sped through those.
Oh, you're supposed to show them.
Oh yeah, no, I scheduled that into the time block, so like 3 more minutes.
Okay.
No, we don't swear on this. This is wholesome family entertainment.
Can they bleep it with like a
cobra? I mean, they would.
I've been asking them to do that. Anyway, sorry, Fran. You're saying.
From Nunchuck figure that's been out there, that's been floating around, that we're going to get Nunchuck. Is that something you guys can speak on?
We cannot comment on future figure releases, but if I were you, I'd sure hang out and figure out what pre-orders are launching tomorrow.
Okay.
You want to show them the helicopter earlier?
I got one more.
Yeah, what's up, bud?
Go for it.
So with plastic packaging making its return, will we continue to see the retro carded releases at Walmart or other retailers?
Great news. We can't really comment on upcoming figure releases, but
we like that line.
We really like that line, and we think that it's really important that it's perhaps available to more people, and that we continue to kind of push the characters that are included perhaps in a line like that, if maybe that was something we wanted to keep doing in the future.
Yes.
How's that?
All right, thank you. That works.
Cool. James, you got one last one before we grab our baby?
Yeah, just random thing. The old exclusives, the Serpentor and the Dr. Mindbender, are those going to become available again, or are they just going to forever be
sold? They were Comic-Con and PulseCon exclusives, so they were single runs, so we actually can't rerun those items. So that was it for them, which... we're glad that so many people liked them.
Yeah.
It was, we did, I believe by the end, because we...
Can you say a number?
No, we can't say a number. But we ended up doing 4 times more of each of... So we did the same number for both Mindbender and Serpentor, because we assumed people would want both of them. And it was 4 times as many as we did for Zartan the year before for PulseCon.
Yeah. And I would actually throw the question out there. So items like that, especially like Dr. Mindbender characters that have been in mainline and all that. And this is not like we will do it, but it'd be interesting to get feedback to be like, would you guys want to see those in other iterations, colorways, different offerings, things like that?
It wouldn't necessarily come with the same package.
Yeah, it wouldn't be what they were. We would definitely offer it in a new refresh, essentially. So it'd be great to see if the fans want to see that stuff refreshed in a different way. Same mold.
Absolutely. Put out Mindbender with the Cobra symbol on the key. That's enough to change up the air loom.
Yeah. Cool.
Awesome. All right.
Show them the dragonfly.
Show them dragonfly.
Yeah. All right. It's a little dusty because our photographer gets silly with it.
Wait until you see the pictures, though. They are absolutely gorgeous. I think that you're really going to like them when they
come. How should I bring it out?
Do you want to hand? Do you want to hand it? I think I'm
going to take them off the.
Yep. Do you want me to give me a hand?
I got them.
You got them?
That's
you guys see?
Here, I'll hold them up.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
The button, I don't know if you guys can see the button so well on the videos, but that's the button that activates all the lights. I think you can kind of see them in there.
Yep.
The gels are not final. They're going to be separate of each other. He'll have a gunner gel. We call them gels because that's it illuminates and makes the graphic in there. I think it's like a term for like video editing. But anyway, so the screens on both will be different. You guys saw most of the HasLab video. We're showing you how they work.
Oh, and here's a very early look at one of them.
Oh.
The,
actually, I'm going to hold this open, Emily. Steel
Core Troop Builders. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they know about these.
No, they haven't seen the actual figures yet.
Well, you get the guys see that. You guys
can see the Steel Core figures first. There you go.
And Wild Bill in there. Can you guys see it? I don't want to bust the model. We got to be careful with this.
But. So just to clarify, the Troop Builder that's in the front seat is part of the Steel Core pack that's going to be coming out soon.
Yeah. And then if you want to turn back towards me, you guys can see inside the flip down inside the gunner stations. Like the machine guns are in there as well. The rounds. Deco's looking really cool. We're still making it'll probably get touched up again before we show it to the public just because
it'll certainly get dusted.
Yeah, our photographer, the scene you're going to see then when we do reveal.
It's beautiful.
Is like a, can I tell them what kind of scene?
Yeah.
It's a desert scene. So there's a lot of dust on the model right now because there's a lot of dust flowing around. He was using the compressed air to make explosions and stuff like that. Matt, we have three Matts on the team. So Matt C had a blast doing it, and it shows. Yeah. But the items coming out
that he doesn't enjoy photographing our items. He's been stuck on G.I. Joe photography for like a month at this point. He's having a great time.
So if you guys can see this all the pop riveting we were talking about, like a lot of aviation where it's like thousands of pop rivets all over the thing. So let me know if you're getting dizzy if I'm moving this around too much.
But we're pretty excited about it. So photos should be out sometime in the next week and a half or so as soon as they come back from being edited. But they're beautiful. We are thrilled.
Yeah.
It's really nice. It's also like, it's enormous.
I'm going to take it.
Yeah. All right. So that was your sneak peek. I hope that you felt like this was worthwhile. And does anybody have any follow-up questions after they've seen our friend? Do you want to just set it down flat on the table, Lenny?
Yeah.
Cause we're going to have to do it again.
Yeah. We're going to get it
again. Okay. No follow-ups? Going once?
It doesn't have a mechanism like on the side like the old one to spin the propellers, right?
It does. So there's a mechanism. It's a secondary part that goes on the bottom of the wing on the side. It's a winch. So you can put the winch onto figures. And something else that maybe you guys can add in the description of it is with the Glenda figure, we're including a harness that'll fit male and female figures.
Yep.
So that harness gets connected to the winch that comes from the helicopter, so you can suspend character. You can suspend figures up and down from it, and it should be able to winch them up and down. So, pretty cool.
Awesome. All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. It was lovely to see you all, and we really, really appreciate you taking the time to hang out.
Thank you for your time. That was awesome. That was a lot of fun.
Sweet. Thanks,
guys. Thank you very much.
Have a great afternoon. Bye, everybody.
Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you, dear listener, for hanging out with us today. Subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen, and then tell your friends to do it. Thanks also to Joe Azari, the golden voice behind our intro. Our music is Game Boy Horror by the Zombie Dandies. Find more about them both in our show notes.
Follow us on social media at AIC_podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Stop by and say hi, show us your toy hauls, and share your toy stories. Maybe we'll talk about it in a future episode.
Don't try this at home. Void where prohibited and some assembly required. Each sold separately, not a flying toy. Consult a physician if your toy run exceeds more than 4 hours.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive Producer Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.